We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com, the Keystone Sports app. Dustin Hockensmith here with Jim Galante. Ask Greg is now Ask Dustin again. Greg is still making his way back. We talked to him on the phone earlier in the show. Still coming back from Chicago. He and Bob Flanders like to spend a couple days in the Windy City to do whatever it is that they do. I don't even want to know.
Chicago's a great place to visit.
Yeah. I mean, it's no Harrisburg, but it's fine.
But what is a Harrisburg, right? Yeah. Anyway, the Ask Dustin segment. It's brought to you by the new 409 Tailgate Club wine. How about that? That's right. 409 Tailgate Club is introducing wine. You could go to tailgatewine.com to get all of their award-winning wines. That means Sapphire Blue, their blueberry wine, Old Main Pinot Grigio, and the 1855 Vidal. That's tailgatewine.com. Y'all ready, Dusty?
I get to pick the winner this week. The best question gets a bottle of wine.
That's right.
And I wield the power this week.
Yes. You're a little
sinister. I'm doing the villain finger tapping.
You are. I like that. Yeah, yeah. Last week it was Andy. He was a little more humble with his power.
I'm gonna wield it big time.
All right. Let's see how you do. Let's start with Matt from Scranton. Matt says, I'm all for Franklin's recruiting approach going all over the country, but should there be concern in getting a verbal commit from a guy who already made such pledges to Indiana and North Carolina, especially with very few spots left? I think we know who he's talking about.
Yeah, Emory Simmons, wide receiver, a talented kid. Interesting they committed to Indiana. Good players are taking a long, hard look at Indiana, so there's no shame in that. Tommy Stevens was once committed to Indiana. There's no shame in getting a kid who flips from Indiana. So the idea, I guess, is that he's flipped twice, and does that make him a higher risk to flip again? And I think it might be fair to wonder that and question, but how many times can a kid flip? You know, is he really
at least twice?
At least twice. Could he set a record in this class? I get it. Like, the behavior suggests that he's prone to flip again, but I don't think you can just assume that he's going to. So I get he's from North Carolina. He flipped from North Carolina to Penn State. So I get it, but I'm not really looking at a glass half empty either. I think he found. He might have spoken too soon before, but I think he probably found a school now.
How much effect does James Franklin's, hey, you're committed, that means no more visits, do you think that took place here?
I think just as much as anything, James Franklin knew that he had committed to two other schools and was probably trying to feel him out whether he would accept that commitment now. So in a way, it's almost like the fact that he's committed is an endorsement from James Franklin. If James Franklin feels pretty good about it, I think Penn State fans should feel pretty good about it.
There you go, Matt. All right, let's move on. Heather from Talmadge, Ohio. Never heard of it.
Gorgeous.
Is it?
I don't know. Well, probably.
Well, it's Ohio. Has to be gorgeous, right? Yeah. All right, here's what Heather asks. The topic of uniform scheduling got a lot of attention at Big Ten Media Days last week. I think an overlooked aspect of the scheduling is how the Big Ten has future conference schedules out through 2021, and the other conferences don't do that. If the Big Ten had the best interest of the conference and making the playoffs, wouldn't it copy these conferences, release schedules annually, and let them set a game like Wisconsin-Penn State early in the season, which allow the teams more time to make up for an opening loss?
Would it make sense to be more flexible is what she's asking?
Yes.
I mean, I guess in a perfect world, I don't really know what the Big Ten's motivations were relative to the other schools. What makes their motivation for scheduling different than the SEC?
Well, I think for the Big Ten, the questions I had last week, if people listened last week when I was on, my question was, last year Penn State played Ohio State, biggest game of the year in the conference, and they had both teams playing another tough team on the road the following week. And I don't think it's any coincidence that they both lost. I think the overall point here is the Big Ten, when they make their schedule, are they looking out for the best interests of their own teams as far as making the playoffs?
It seems like there might be a convenience aspect to it of just sort of doing the random schedule generator and accepting wherever. And I know that things change from year to year too, right? Like what you would have qualified Penn State, Michigan State as going into last year, that game this year looks a lot different than you would have expected it to. Because Michigan State was not expected to be any good last year. So now they're both top 15 teams, and it looks a little bit different. So I think there's something to be said about being able to flex your schedule around based on what the current tailwinds are.
And I think that's
I think that's totally fair.
And that's the point Heather's making, and I agree. I don't believe the Big Ten does enough to help their teams make the playoffs, and then they complain that their champion doesn't make the playoffs. Some of these wounds are self-inflicted. That's the way I put it last week. You missed out last week. I was really good on the show.
I need to go back and listen. I try to avoid listening to myself, but I'll listen to somebody else.
All right. Let's move on. Let's go with Matt in Camp Hill. Matt says, I keep hearing, in relation to John Dunmore, that Florida State is not hosting official visits until the fall. What's the rationale behind that strategy?
I wonder the same thing. I have no idea. I don't know what their thinking is. I don't know whether they're trying to close ground late. I don't know if they're trying to generate momentum late. I don't really know the rationale behind it. That would be a really good question for Greg. The question, I guess, is it's going to put this idea that John Dunmore's dream school was Florida State. It's going to put that idea to the test because Florida State didn't push hard when other schools were pushing hard, including Penn State. So can you come back from that? Just when you open the doors for official visits, will he take an official visit? He's not really behaving, you know, at least outwardly on Twitter and stuff. He's behaving like he's a real true blue member of Penn State's 2019 class. So I'm just going to kind of take it at that. But it represents a real threat if Florida State can get him on campus, which I think has pretty good odds. So I have no – I don't know the answer to that. It's a roundabout way to say, and I'm not sure what Florida State is doing exactly and why they're trying to zag when other schools are zagging.
I'm not sure it's this great strategy they're using or if they just haven't yet adjusted to the new world where the visits are allowed earlier in the year and they're going to find out, oh, wait a minute. Next year, maybe we need to adjust to everybody else. All right, let's move on. Bill from Philadelphia. Hey, Dusty, Franklin mentioned the possibility of moving Connor McGovern to center. I think he means to guard.
Yes. Yeah.
Given the line struggles in the past, how concerned are you that the positions aren't settled at this point? In my mind, Mennett should have been training at a specific position for the past 2 years instead of continuing to be flipped back and forth. I think this is an issue we've talked about often.
Yeah.
Is it better to have these players moving around on the offensive line or just find a position and stick with it?
Well, ideologically, I think you're going to have this complaint with James Franklin and his staff going forward because they're cross-training their offensive linemen. It's not to necessarily try to audition them for different spots, but you're seeing a lot of times, you know, McGovern, it wasn't long, you know, going back to his first spring, was working at tackle too. So I think they're just trying to expose them to different things. I couldn't really say why, whether that's out of an emergency to see what they can do at different positions, whatever, but there's something to be said, I suppose, at hammering the same reps at the same position. But really, I think if you have a guy who you think has leadership ability, who you think can be a vocal leader type, I think skill set wise and body type wise, Mennett makes more sense at center and McGovern makes more sense at guard. I'm not sure. I think this is an endorsement of Michael Mennett. I think it's a way to explore, is this the best combination that you can get on the line? Does this make you stronger at both spots? And I think it'd be foolish not to entertain the possibility of that. I think it would be up for camp to decide who's better for what spot. But I don't really take it as a big strike against Penn State. I think this, that until Penn State throws out five offensive linemen that really get the job done, James Franklin is open to these kinds of criticisms.
Well, I think that's the exact point right there. They've this offensive line has transitioned from a couple years ago when they just wanted to find five guys that they could throw on the field to the point where you're happy with every guy at every position, and then it will stabilize. All right, next up we have Jay from Westchester. Is it just me, or is Penn State a feeder farm for the Delaware Blue Hens?
It would seem that way, and I think that the fact that you can leave Penn State and not sit out a year and go to a school that's really not all that far away, that has a pretty good tradition, has a pretty good team, it makes all the sense in the world. So yeah, I guess. I mean, Troy Reader and Andre Robinson are the latest there, but it makes so much sense because you have a really good school in a different division than you that's right next door. So I think that makes sense.
And they could make the automatic transfer and start playing right away.
If that was your objective, where else would you go?
I don't think there's a lot of other options. Delaware's just a great option.
Pitt only behaves like they're a division below.
No,
that's pandering. That's pandering.
yes, it is. All right, let's get another one in here. Lee from Virginia asks, Dustin, certainly there's been a great deal of discussion about players who left Penn State at the end of last season, some really good players. My question is, which one player on offense and one player on defense will Penn State miss the most in 2018? And also, which player on the 2018 roster is most likely to replace those players and have the huge breakout year?
So the gist of the question is guys that they've lost unexpectedly?
No, I think just what hurt the most? Was it losing Barkley? Was it losing Gazicki? Was it losing Deshaun Hamilton? And
yeah.
I think we know the answer. How about the defense? Let's go to the fast forward. Who's going to be the guy to step up to replace those people and have a breakout year?
Boy, I really – at defensive tackle, I really like the you have the ability. I know they're less proven in the depth as a question mark, but you have the ability, I think, with Robert Windsor and Kevin Givens to have a little bit of a addition by subtraction. It's not any knock on Curtis Cothran and Parker Cothran, but I think those guys in a best-case scenario can be better than them. So those are two big-time guys. Obviously, Micah Parsons at linebacker playing a key role is something that excites me. And Miles Sanders, you know, I think he has a chance behind an offensive line that improves to be just as productive in some respects as Barkley was. Not the centerpiece of the offense. Trace McSorley will get more attention, but I think Miles Sanders, with his north-south ability, you give him a crease, he can go. And I think you could see some big plays from him this year.
All right, we need a winner.
I like the question about McGovern and Mennett, whoever asked that.
McGovern and Mennett. I got to find out who it is. I'll find it. As soon as I find who that is, you are going to get your wine sample sent to you.
You're welcome. I'll take half the bottle, by the way, as a payment.
All right. That's it for our show. We'll see you next time.
Summer with Labatt Blue. To have a can't-do-this-anywhere-but-Pennsylvania summer. Hit the waters with paddles, backflips, cannonballs, and cap things off with a bonfire and Labatt Blue. Soak it in with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light-loving Pennsylvania cans, celebrating Pennsylvania's summer spots. While supplies last, beer Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you, so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is Andy Shea from the Keystone Sports Network. You heard us talk about 409 tailgate sauce for a while now. Honesty moment. I use 409 tailgate sauce at my house, and it's a hit with my family and friends. My barbecue chicken always comes out great. The sauce also works on pork, beef. You can even put it on your burgers. Go to 409tailgateclub.com to order 409 tailgate sauce for you or that tailgater in your life. And remember, always tailgate with honor.